Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus plans to spend Passover in Jerusalem. And like many people who travel, he appears to find that staying slightly outside the big city is more to his taste than looking for lodging in the congestion and the hustle bustle of Jerusalem. And so he makes his base in Bethany, which is about 2 miles outside Jerusalem. And he stays at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Well, it's always good to see friends, isn't it? And when you stay with them, you have a little bit more chance to catch up. And so Jesus has a chance to catch up with Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead just a few weeks before this dinner. In biblical times, and in the not-so-distant past, when somebody died, the funeral preparations were conducted at home. And so when Martha and Mary had called Jesus to come and heal their brother, he got there too late, and there was time enough for the body to start smelling. And the girls had taken care of him. They had already prepared him and laid him in the tomb. And yet, when Jesus arrived and they rolled away the stone, that dead man rose and came out with his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth, just like his family had prepared his body for the tomb. What happens after a dead man is revived? Wouldn't you have a party? And that's what's going on in this scene. They are celebrating. They are throwing a party for Jesus. Now, you might also expect that the person who has been raised from the dead would offer sort of a round of thanks to Jesus, that he might give a speech. But we do not hear anything from Lazarus at this party. He doesn't give a speech. And I wonder if he's maybe still a little bit dazed at the experience that he went through. Or maybe he's worried, because we're also told that the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death, as well as Jesus, since it was on account of Lazarus that many of the Jews were deserting and believing in Jesus. So being raised from the dead is not without its problems for Lazarus. But this is a party. We can bracket all those troublesome times. The three siblings are all there, and it's good to see them reunited. It's good to see how Mary and Martha are working together instead of quarreling with each other. They're trying to balance the practical and the spiritual in their lives. Although, if you noticed, Martha still was the one who served the meal. Mary just can't, I guess she's just not a very good cook. But Mary does something that we don't expect. She takes expensive perfume, a lot of it, a pound, and she uses that perfume to anoint Jesus' feet. And then she wipes his feet with her hair. That is an amazingly extravagant and intimate gesture. And maybe it might make some of us uncomfortable, because we've heard another version of this story in which it is a prostitute who pours perfume on Jesus, and we may be thinking about that and wondering a little bit about Mary. It's my understanding that feasts or banquets in those times had two parts. First, there was the appetizers, kind of, when the servants washed your hands and your feet and you had just a little bit to eat. And then the servants anointed the feet to remove the odor of the road. And it was only after that that the main courses were served. But this oil that was used to anoint the feet was also used to anoint bodies when they died. And it had been undoubtedly used not long ago when Lazarus died. Now this scent is broken, poured over his feet. And that scent just fills the house. It's a beautiful fragrance, and the abundance of it just takes over. The whole house is filled with the perfume. And I was trying to imagine what this was like, and I came up with something that I think it's not like. I do not think this is like when you walk into a gift shop and your senses are kind of assaulted by the smell of potpourri and scented candles and one smell after another, and it just kind of gets you feeling a little sick. I don't think it's like that. It was not too sweet, too much, too overwhelming. Instead, I imagine that the scent of Mary's perfume is like one of those smells that you can't get enough of, like lilacs in the spring, or if you're not into lilacs, maybe freshly baked bread. That's something that you just can't get enough of. Many years ago, I worked in an office, and a cleaning lady would come in during the day, and rather than having us move, she would just clean around us. And I would be seated at my desk, and she would take her dust cloth, and she would wipe the tables, and she'd wipe the desk, and she'd even wipe the computer. And this strong scent of lemon pledge would just surround me. It just seemed to fill the whole room. And to this day, the scent of lemon pledge makes me feel very relaxed and cared for. Smells can evoke a deep memory. So I wonder what the fragrance of those anointing oils, what that evokes for the group that's gathered around there for dinner. Lazarus probably doesn't remember that scent because he was dead. Judas, however, seems to be threatened by this smell, and he makes up excuses for objecting to the perfume, and he talks about the poor and how they shouldn't have had any perfume in the first place and how they should have sold it to give the money to the poor. And we all know that he wants that money for his own. My sense is that when Judas smells that oil, he smells death. Jesus, however, gives another meaning to this anointing. He lets them know that when he is present, it is time for a celebration. And helping the poor does not mean that we can't celebrate. Judas would diminish the community's treasury by stealing, but Mary is adding to the gifts of the community with her generosity. The whole house is enjoying that wonderful, abundant scent. Mary shows true discipleship. She's humble. She's not trying to assume a position of power like some others of Jesus' disciples. But the love shows Jesus just spills over to others. Mary accepts the ways that death has no more dominion. The fragrance is no longer being used to mask unpleasant odors like the stink of feet or the decay of a body. The fragrance is no longer being used as a cover-up for death. Now, this scent has become the scent of life. The fragrance of love, the fragrance of resurrection even. Mary has anointed Jesus, who is facing his hour, the time for his betrayal, for his trial, for his crucifixion, it has arrived. Yes, Jesus is facing death, but he will also be raised from the dead. And so now, from now on, whenever we see or smell death, we will know that it is not forever, because Jesus has overcome death, and death has lost its dominion. Of course, there are still places of death in our society, situations that seem to be beyond hope. The Middle East conflict seems to be never ending. There are always places of poverty and starvation in Africa. There are communities that are torn in two by addiction in our country. The poor we shall have always with us, Jesus said. And some of us use that as an excuse for not acting. We say, there's nothing we can do about that. There's nothing we can do about the poor. There's nothing we can do about death. Or worse, we may use Jesus' words as a prescription. We may take them to mean we must make sure that there are always poor with us. But that is not what Jesus means. Poverty is one of the tools of death. And we counter death with love and faith and action, as Mary does with confidence in her abundance. She refuses to let death have the last word. Mary and Martha and Lazarus are witnesses to the power of the resurrection in their common lives. The power of love to fill the house like a strong perfume. Love combats poverty. Love calls forth life. So smell the fragrance and know that we live in Christ. In southern France, lavender is grown as a crop. And I heard the story of a town where lavender was processed into lotions and soaps and perfumes. And you could always tell in that town when it was quitting time because the scent of lavender started filling the town. As the workers left the factory and they spread into the streets and they wended their way home, they carried the scent of the lavender with them, and that scent filled the whole town. Disciples of Jesus bear the scent of love with them into the town, into all the places that they go. We bear the scent of love with us, and we let it permeate not only the whole house, not only the church, but the whole earth. Love is a mighty force, and the whole world can tell when the disciples of Jesus have been there because they bear the scent of love. May we always carry that scent into the world. In the name of Jesus, in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.